Up dog fella, look good, feel good, play good. We got some new Adidas golf swag coming the fella's way.
I don't know if any new golf swag would help your game, but I love it. Adidas is excited to introduce new offerings within the Go-To apparel collection that allows you to bring your style to the golf course. Not the traditional golf uniform, Go-To brings a fresh attitude to the game wherever you play. You'll look good on and off the course while enjoying all the technical benefits that let you play your best.
Featuring streetwear-inspired style, the Go-To collection rewrites all the rules and encourages you to express your style through every swing. Explore the new Go-To collection on adidas.com/golf.
Fellas,
Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
What's missing curfew? It's when you kind of play guilty, but you show up.
How nice is a green light on the road, though? No practice tomorrow, no plane, just go.
Scotty Upshaw in the clear, and he scores! Right in front, scores!
A few laughs, a little bit of fun, and obviously a lot of hockey talk.
You're listening to Missing Curfew.
It's all lads.
My man, Oops. How you doing, buddy? Holy fuck. How are you? How you feeling?
I mean, listen, I'm great.
That's insane.
Yesterday was a little... Yesterday was busy, bro. Yesterday was busy. It was a long week. Fella tour. Sad to see it end, bud. Sad to see it end. But it's nice to be up in the altitude right now, sucking down some thin oxygen and getting ready for a big week of catching up with you, fella.
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive. You parlayed it right into Vegas, and then you didn't even take like the Monday. Like when I text you yesterday and you're like, I'm on my way to LAX. I'm like, how is that possible? You're like, oh, I came back after the game and then I went, you didn't even take the Monday just to like lay on the couch and whack off and fucking, you know, get some soup or like, you're just like, you're like, I got to get to Aspen was your thoughts, right? I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah. You know what? I felt guilty, bud. By the end, I felt guilty, right? And guilt is usually it's a useless emotion. You hear it over and over again, like just throw it out the window. But it was 13 days in a row with you and the team and the fella tour and three different cities. And you know what? I miss my kids. I miss my girl. I miss my dog. So I was like, I just had to get it together. So I got it together. I went to the airport early. Shout out to my boy G Money, our boy Garrett, for sticking with us for the whole fella tour from Phoenix to Vegas, because I needed him. And without him, Obes, I was a lost newfie hanging around the desert way too long, bro. Way too long.
Yeah, it's impressive, fella. It's impressive. I still think, guilty or not, you should have taken that Monday just to kind of put the feet up. Hey, I mean, I think Izzy Beckham would have understood if you saw him on Tuesday, but hey. It's impressive.
Listen, I got back from Vegas after the game at 3:45 in the morning, and I unpacked and then packed, and I went to LAX at 10:15.
That is fucking insane to me. I couldn't move for 2 days. Like we went Toronto. I'll give you my fella tour update for the fellas out there. We went, when we go in Wednesday night, we had dinner, and then we went Thursday, Friday hard. Then I came back home. Took me 3 IVs to get me to Scottsdale. Then I took Monday, Tuesday off in Scottsdale, and then I went Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then I got home Saturday. Shout out to Todd Pickup. What a team guy. I got on his bird, thank God. And Updog, I didn't move for a day and a half. Soup, electrolytes, you name it. And I was yesterday afternoon, after a nice walk and a swim and got my life back in order, I was officially back. But I'm just impressed by how quickly you could just – I guess that's what makes you, fella.
Yeah, but buddy, I appreciate it. The vote of confidence on, just keeping the fella tour going for us, for Missing Curfew, for the brand, for the fellas out there who, would just do anything to be in this position that we're in, I had to do it. I had to do it. I had to take the Sprinter van from the Waste Management Open with our boy Mac L. I had to get to Vegas, and then I had to just send it is exactly what I did. I might have slept 5 hours there. I mean, it was And that was probably more hours than anyone got to sleep in Vegas because it was going off.
I can't believe you haven't got sick. Do you think you're going to get sick at all? Or no, you think you're past sick. It? I mean, I had a cough. Yeah, no, I had a cough.
I take my vitamins. I do the Life Force, bro. I do the saunas, the plunge, you know, a couple cold showers to wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And then you just got to let it rock, bro. You can't hold back. So you're going to hold back. They're going to start throwing dirt on you. Keep her going.
You're past the getting sick part. I'm going to say you're not past her just yet. What is it today? What is it here? Tuesday? I'm going to check in with you Thursday and see if I think you got a couple days here of when your bodies are finally going to maybe just, but who knows with you, fella? Who knows with you? But anyways, Updog was definitely first star of the fella tour. Co-first stars was DraftKings. The sports book in TPC Scottsdale is National League. I just hope to God, Updog, that the state of California that we live in can eventually please just vote yes on this. So we can build a DraftKings sports book in Newport Beach somewhere, because I saw the highlights of people watching the game there on Sunday. I was jealous. What a setup they have there. These sports books are next level.
Yeah, I would love nothing more, brother, than to take in a nice Sunday football with games all day, or a Saturday college football with the hockey going on too. Listen, those screens, the places to play your bets, the food, the drinks, I mean, the backyard with it had all the nice seats and everything, the umbrellas. We needed the umbrellas. It was pouring rain. Piss poor weather at the WMO. But listen, no, you're right. These things are going to start popping up. I think it's part of their brand, right? Pop these things up all around the country in the areas where you're allowed to gamble, near the sports arenas. Like, I picture Philadelphia with one. I picture in Detroit, we saw the DraftKings Sports and Social, but I picture a sports book going right next to that hockey arena, that area down there. In Canada, let's pop them up in Edmonton, all over the place. Let's get these going. It was a great time. Thanks for them for hosting us. I mean, just good thing we didn't hang out in the back for what's his name? Afrojack? Not Afrojack. Steve, who was that guy?
Steve Aoki.
That girl that came in and hugged you, I was like, get her out of here.
She's still trying to get cake out of her butt crack. There's cake in her butt crack still, bro. She had the icing was cake, literally, and figured like caked on her, man. I was like, I gotta take a picture with you. That's unbelievable. And listen, over the course of the fella tour in Scottsdale, I'm not sure who it was that told me, but for people out there that are like, you know, gambling this, gambling that, you know, myself, I put a little bit too much money on games sometimes. The average bet at DraftKings, what do you think the average bet at DraftKings is?
$5.
$4.
$4.
So yeah, what I'm saying is...
It's called tickling.
Yeah, it just makes it a little bit more fun. And the thing about DraftKings is with all these cool prop bets, even loops. We got loops on the DraftKings app before the Super Bowl. And he was like sending me all these prop bets that he's like, look at this bet. I mean, the thing about DraftKings and when it is legalized... is that you can just tickle it. You don't have to fucking bet above your weight class. And there's so much fun shit you can do that makes the game way more entertaining.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But by the way, those screens in that sports book, all the, you know, just seeing it and scrolling down through it and just, you know, putting a bunch into your open wagers, right? And then just going through and going $5, $10. It just keeps you involved in the game. And, you know, when we had Johnny on, you know, one of the guys from DraftKings, who was an incredible interview last week, he just described how much fun it is for his team to create these prop bets, right? To just separate DraftKings from the competition with the way the app works and with how fun these bets are. And it's just nice to, I like watching the game always with a little bit of cheddar on it. It just makes it that much more interesting, fella.
Yeah, my average bet is definitely not $4, but that's neither here nor there, eh, Updog? Shout out to the Thunderbirds, Darcy Hordachuk, your boy Dodge, James Beal is an absolute beauty. Thunderbird guy, took good care of us, but all those guys, Updogs, they must have been liking that weather deep down a little bit with all those, with the outfits they have to wear. But once again, they knocked it out of the park, and you talk about guys that can go full Updog, those Thunderbirds go full Updog.
I mean, Obi, that weekend was, you know, the weather made it, yeah, insanely unpredictable, right? Of just what the day was going to be like. I mean, for the people that went there underdressed, shitty. You know, if you went there without an umbrella Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, yikes. But the course, you know, it held up. It was a great event. The Thunderbirds, you know, from Dierks Bentley in the Bird's Nest to Kygo playing a show Saturday night there, the entertainment value and, you know, just the atmosphere, right? The atmosphere on 17 at that new cove that they have, or 16, which is, you know, where Billy Quinn had his squad from Dallas in there. It's just a great event. And for all the players out there who might, you know, say it's unclassy or it's a little bit of a shit show and gong show, I just think, like, you would have never cut it in any other sport. Like, it's just, there's no way you would have ever been, you know, a football player or a hockey player, or even, you know, getting heckled as a baseball player, stepping up in the batter's box. I mean, it's just what sports is all about. It's just nice to see one event where you can just get as shit-faced as possible. You know, you're probably going to end up on TV if you slide down a hill or you jump in a bunker or you get thrown in the old clinker. You're going to have to explain that to your wife when you get home. Honey, I'm sorry, but the boys, you know, they made me do it. I don't know what to tell you. But
I mean, it's a great event. If that's all you got to explain to your wife after the waste management, then it's not a bad idea. It could be worse. Could be worse than just say, I got to fill in the junk tank. She's probably like, is that all you did? What else did you do? I'm with you, though. Listen, Zach Johnson, you know what? You got the wheels beat off you at the Ryder Cup in Rome. If you didn't think you were going to go play in the waste management and that these drunk beauties were not going to chirp you for getting your ass kicked in the Ryder Cup, why play in the tournament? I heard him say, I've been playing this for 21 years. It's been over the line for every year I've played in it. Well, then why do you continue to play in it, Zach? Don't take the fucking week off. You know, I know he used to love playing the John Deere, which I don't think is there anymore. But, like, I'm just saying, I was like, I used to like Zach Johnson. And after I saw that, I know he's getting up there. He's probably crusty. He's almost ready for the Champions Tour. But don't play. If you can't handle the chirping, don't play in this tournament, because that's what makes this tournament so unique. And it's never changing. The one thing I didn't like is they shut down beer sales on Saturday. I never thought I'd see the day. I mean, there must have been some really, really drunk people for them to shut that down.
Yeah, there were some rumors going around Vegas that happened, you know, in the casino, and then the next day at the Super Bowl. People weren't happy, right? They're like comparing it, you know, they're like, what the hell's going on? It's a golf tournament.
Yeah.
You know, it's cold out there. You know, and what the hell? I mean, for us, they didn't shut that down Thursday night, OB, till what time? I mean, we kept that going till about 7, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, how drunk do you have to be to shut down beer sales, like, early afternoon?
I saw one clip on one of the social media apps where this guy, obviously the wet conditions didn't help, but he was pinned and he went face first in a mud puddle, and then he got up and he went back down again, then he slid down the hill. I mean, I just think the wet conditions probably didn't help either, with people, like I'm saying, flipping and flopping all over the place. But I just never thought I'd see the day they shut down the beer on the Saturday. You got to let her go, Buck Diddy.
Yeah, I mean, but you and me saw one guy get carried out by his buddy, and this guy was like not a small guy either, right? Like,
no.
I guess at some point, you know, the tournament organizers kind of look around at each other and go, these guys are just too drunk. Like, it's, you know, if this was Thursday and it was only day one or two for these guys, maybe let's let them go a bit. But now day three, day four, these guys, it's amateur hour for them out there. They got their shirts off. They're probably, you know, peeing all over the place. It's like, come on, guys, have a little touch here. Let's go have a touch.
They must have. I never thought I'd see the day. But Zach Johnson and Billy Horschel too. Calm down, Billy. You've made enough money. I'm sure if one guy yells in your backswing, you can battle through it. So I would suggest those two guys maybe take next waste management off. But thanks to the Thunderbirds, and obviously a good Canadian lad, Nick Taylor. I was watching more of the golf than the Super Bowl. We'll get into the Super Bowl next because of how boring the start of the Super Bowl game was. But, dude, this guy's clutch. And I text Graham DeLette after, and I'm like, dude, this guy's money. He's like, anytime this guy got in contention in college golf, in pro golf, he is so cash money up, dogs. Shout out to him. Good Winnipeg boy that lives in Scottsdale now, so it's a home game for him. But what a performance. What a finish, man. That on 18, dude, what a scene.
It looked insane, brother. I got a chance watching that in the sprinter van on the way home, and it was like a shortened version. It was 11 and a half minutes of all Sunday highlights. And I mean, the way the course looked, Obi, and the final guys with Hoffman and Scheffler and the change in leads, there was like four or five guys, maybe even more, on the back nine that all had a chance at one point that were tied for the lead. And that's what makes golf exciting. That's what makes golf exciting in an event like that, where you have 15, 16, 17, and 18 with thousands and thousands of people on it, all ready to, you know, to cheer. And You know, you have Scheffler, who's arguably the best player in the world right now in the PGA Tour, you know, almost making a hole in one on 16 to you know, chase the lead again. And the lead changes and just the putts. And you're right about Nick Taylor, man. When if he's in the hunt, heads up, because he gets his putter going. I mean, imagine putting like that, where like anything over between 10 to 30 feet is like, you're just pouring them in and they're the biggest putts of your life. I mean, winning the Canadian Open with that putt on 18, you know, last year was insane. But this year, I mean, that's the event to win. That's the event that fans will be remember you for, because it's a party, man. It's a party.
I mean, listen, you look at his last two wins, the scene at the Canadian Open last July was absolutely insane. I told you it made me feel proud to be a Canadian again. And then that scene on Sunday, I mean, this Nick Taylor, when he wins big. And he'll be on the President's Cup team this September in Montreal, which is huge for Mike Weir, who I believe is the captain. But this guy's cash money. So I reached out to Grandpa. I was like, see if you can get him on the pod. But he's like, playing Riviera this week. $20 million up for grabs. He's not doing much media. I'm like, understood, fella. Understood. So DraftKings, thank you again. We'll be there back there next year at that beautiful sports book. Hopefully the weather's a little nicer, though, because the outfits, eh? When the weather's nicer, the outfits are a little, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't think all those guys are going there for just the golf, right?
So, no.
Yeah, let's get that weather turned around.
Get that weather
turned. Maybe we bump it up to April or something like that. We'll
see. Super Bowl up, dog. You were in attendance. I mean, how was it? How was it to be live at a Super Bowl game? I mean, the start of the game, I thought it was going to go down as the worst Super Bowl in the history of all 50 Super Bowls or whatever. It's been 58 of them. How'd you like it?
Buddy, it was insane, Obes. I'll get it a little bit in depth on my experience in Vegas over, Uppy's World. But listen, it was an event for the ages, man. From the people who showed up there to the venue, that football stadium, Obie, is as state-of-the-art as anything that's ever been built to watch a game at. What I did notice, bro, live at a football game, which I don't really see, you know, I've been to football games before. I could probably count them on my own hand, but these guys felt like they were going to war, brother. It like seeing it live and all, you know, you see all the routes run, you see the hits and the tackles just up close and personal. We had great seats. It was insane. The energy was great. The halftime show I thought was great. The beers were flowing. I was having the tequila sodas, brother. It was good. But I was a little disappointed, man. I thought the 49ers had a chance to, I lost a bottle of Camus to you, but I thought the 49ers had a chance to close it out. You know, blocked field goal. I blocked extra point at the end. It saved my line, mind you, but it gave me a chance to hit it at a minus two. But, yeah, what do you say? I mean, Patrick Mahomes is chasing, you know, he's chasing the GOAT, right? People are now talking that he's as good as anyone's ever been. And we had arguably the GOAT on our podcast last week with John.
He was there. He was there.
He was there. Fuck yeah. He was out on the field.
He handed out the fucking trophy right up. I was like, this is going to sting John a little bit. He hates the Kansas City Chiefs, right? He's a Broncos guy. He was going for the Niners, and then he had to bring the trophy right up on their tape. But he was looking good. He was looking good, Johnny boy.
He was looking sharp, and I'm sure it wasn't. I'm sure there was a couple late nights mixed in for Johnny down the stretch in Vegas, as was everybody's.
Not as late as yours.
It was, buddy. It was just awesome. I didn't want it to end, and when it went to overtime, I had our boy Sheldon Malitsky beside me, my boy, and I mean, we were just like looking at each other, like, could this be any better to be here live at arguably one of the best Super Bowl finishes on planet Earth for ages, right? People will be talking about this game for ages.
And, yeah, it could have been better. It could have been better if you had the Chiefs. It could have been better if you took the fucking Chiefs.
I did not want to take the Chiefs.
Well, you're pumping up. Yeah, the Niners, bro. Yeah, the Niners.
I'll tell you when I felt my best. Okay, I went up to see my boy Jesse, who had a suite up top. It was so badass. Shout out to him and Clay for having me up there. But listen, when they put Taylor Swift on the TV, Obes, and she chugged that drink with her friend, there was way more booze than there was cheers, and that actually gave me a little chub. I was happy that went down, because you know what? I was just sick of it at the time.
I'll tell you what. Talking about the halftime show, can that usher can high step around, can he? Holy
sure can.
Holy fuck, was he tiptoeing around there? And then listen, Alicia Keys. I've always loved Alicia Keys, and when she had that tight red suit on, and Usher was behind her, giving her the old pelvic thrust, I was like, Wow, I'm jealous. But I mean, listen, I forgot. I mean, Usher was getting popular when we were kind of playing in the show, right? Like when we used to go to the clubs a lot and stuff, Usher was the man. Still looks great. I mean, for how old do you think he is? Is he like 48?
I say Usher's mid-40s. Yeah. I'd say he's probably like 45. And I saw him in Vegas at MGM maybe 2 months ago, right? I was, buddy, when he puts those roller skates on and he starts high-stepping around the thing and doing twirls and dancing, it's insane. Imagine doing that on skates.
His dance.
He's got bangers, bro. He's got some bangers, Obes.
His dance moves were unbelievable. I thought he killed it. I thought it was a great halftime show. Listen, the game, it is what it is. I mean, the Niners had their chances to bury him. They didn't bury him. Kansas City's defense, like I said, all fucking year is nasty. And they were nasty when they had to be. And the Niners, Updog, I don't know if you remember what we were talking about heading into the game. I'm like, the Niners D is due for a big game. And they showed up and played unbelievable. Kyle Shanahan, I love his style on the sidelines. He wears six hats. I get what he's saying about the coin flip. Like, if they kick two field goals, then you get the third possession and all you need is a field goal. But you can't give Patty Mahomes four downs. You can't let him know exactly what he has to do. And that drive that Patty Mahomes put together at the end of the game, I mean, what can you say? It was absolutely insane. Travis Kelce, I've sat on this podcast all year and kind of chirped him a little bit. Well, you know what, Updog? The fucking joke's on me because this guy is an absolute G. He's dating the biggest girl in the game. He won the biggest fucking championship in American sports. He was in Vegas with the trophy and Taylor Swift. I mean, listen, this guy, he took the chirping all year. He didn't listen to it. Travis Kelce proved me wrong, man. This guy is a gangster. And think about him waking up today, Updog. How good is his life right now? Like, how good is he feeling?
Yeah, if that's a question, Obes, I just answer it by saying this guy fucks.
Yeah.
He is, you know what? The outfit he had on, the glasses, the party he threw after with Marshmello at XS. Our boy Mac L went there. You know what? I give him props, bro. He's now holds the record for most touchdowns and most catches in playoff history, NFL playoff history. He arguably has the best quarterback as his 1A, as his boy. But those two guys prove that they're just having fun. They're having fun and kicking everyone's ass when it matters. The coach, Andy Reid, I mean, he's the guy you want to take and run that ship, right? He's proven that, you know, 3 and 4 Super Bowl appearances in 5 years. These guys, when is it going to stop?
It's not going to stop.
It might not. Like, they had it off year, Obes, and they just won the Super Bowl again. So it's like heads up, boys.
Let's talk about how big of a G Travis Kelce is. In the middle of an NFL football season, he wheeled the most famous chick in the planet, flew around going to see her, getting her to fall in love with them, all while being the best, what is supposed to be the best tight end in the league, taking shit from everyone, meatheads like me, gets her to fall in love. She comes to every game. He turns it up come playoff time and then goes up on the stage and starts singing Viva Las Vegas. I mean, Travis Kelce, bro, you are a beauty and a gangster. And all I could think about was with Jay-Z at the game. The one lyric in the song is, I got the hottest girl in the game wearing my chain. And there's Taylor Swift with an 87 chain around his neck. I'm just like, this Travis Kelce is the man. So I'm sorry, fella. You are the man. And by the way, she was looking good at that game. I can maybe see why, you know, she had that outfit she had on, the all black. She looked pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? I think he might even make her a little hotter now that, you know, she's the girl of a Super Bowl back-to-back champ. Travis Kelce, arguably now, all girls are talking about him. Maybe they weren't before, right? Maybe they just didn't know who he was. I'm talking girls on all levels now. But Taylor Swift, yeah, you're right. Now that she's like sitting in behind the DJ booth at clubs, like not really worrying about shit, makes her a little bit more attractive. I still would say that Christian McCaffrey, I saw his girl Olivia Culpa at the Aria Hotel before she went to the game, and she had this outfit on, and I basically said, this girl's the hottest girl in the game right now. I want McCaffrey to win this game. But after that,
it wasn't his fault. I mean, he played his guts out. I'll tell you what, Blake Lively looked pretty good up in that little suite too. I've always had a crush on Blake. But I did see something cool up before the game, and you have a beautiful daughter. You know, you're a girl dad. It was dads around the country that literally their daughter only started watching football because of Taylor Swift. And these dads were getting emotional that I get to spend 3 hours with my daughter that I would not normally get to spend. And it was like 5, 6, 7 to 10 dads, and they all getting emotional, crying at the end. And I'm like, well, fuck, that's pretty awesome. I mean, these girls literally just watch football for her. So from that perspective, it's pretty touching as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see the after effects of the Taylor Swift effect, right, of moving forward. You're going to see viewership. This I don't know, did the ratings come out? We'd have to look that up. I'm sure Princey knows. But the ratings for the Super Bowl had to just crush it. With all the celebs in town, with Las Vegas, the entertainment city of the world, that the viewership had to have been insane. And you're right, it's now kids, it's women, it's guys, it's everyone. Sundays are now full of different people watching, you know, football, and that's, to you it's great, to us it's great. Somehow we got to get it to hockey. When's Jack Hughes going to grab, you know, one of the young stars and turn all the other women into hockey fans now?
Yeah, we just need that kid to stay healthy, which we're going to get into. But all I got to say is Chiefs Kingdom. I mean, all they did was fuck me out of my future. But other than that, I wrote them in the playoffs. Listen, DraftKings, baby. I gave out two prop bets. Mahomes over 27.5 rushing yards. You're welcome. 66 yards. And I took Mahomes as MVP, which was, if they were going to win, it was a lock. So I hit my two prop bets up, dog. And then I had the Chiefs in the game. So it was a good day for me laying on the couch. But last but not least, on our little intro here, Tiger is back. I saw him waking up this morning coming out of whatever hotel he stayed at in L.A. with his new Sunday red on. He's playing Riviera, $20 million on the line. It's great every time this guy tees up. I hope he's walking well. I hope he hits it decent enough because we both know how tough Riv is.
Riv's tough, Holmes, but it's not a hard walk, right? So it is a course. He's got his name on the tournament. It is a course that, you know, he's familiar with. He can go out. It's in his backyard. We know he's an L.A. guy. He's dressed to impress. Love the logo. I can't wait to see the shape of it. Is it nice and tight? Like, right?
Was looking good.
A big event. $20 million. You're right. These guys are, this is one you got to step on the gas pedal for. It's going to be great on TV. Are you going to go or are you, what do you got? You got Billy Graham in town this weekend for UFC fights?
Yeah.
You're not going to make it up there?
No, I will save that for Fella Friday. Fella Friday. I got a big weekend coming up, but it's only Tuesday here, fella. So we'll be right back. Fella, we got to talk about Jägermeister. No chirping, no running its mouth. Let's just talk about the confidence on these guys.
Our friends at Jägermeister sent us this ad read to read on the show, fella. But they're confident that they said, don't do any of that normal ad stuff. Tell the listeners two things. Jägermeister's great, and everyone's been drinking it wrong. Well, if that's the case, how the hell do you think we should be drinking it?
Up, dog, that's a great question. Ice cold, fella. At 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it, my man. That's all they want to tell you. Damn, that's cold.
Just remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister U.S., White Plains, New York.
I'm missing curfew. Welcome back to Missing Curfew. Up his world. Party time. Vegas, baby. Into Aspen. Guy's a machine. Dude, how was the Sprinter ride, man, from Scottsdale to Vegas? Just talk about the city, I guess, and Sheldon. Where'd you guys go for dinner? How was it, buddy? How was it?
Listen, it was awesome. But shout out to, I mentioned before, G-Money, first fella tour. We had our driver, Garrett, on the road with us. I mean, this guy from picking us up, Obes, to going to get beers, to going to get all the groceries, to making sure we were looked after at the end of our nights. I just want to shout out to him and give him some love. But listen, Sprinter ride through the desert, beautiful country, right in from Scottsdale, right to Vegas, four-hour ride. I stayed at Aria, and shout out to our boy Jim Cantaloupe, who we haven't seen in some time, but Jimbo's fucking, he's back, man. What a guy. He had a ton of his friends in town, clients, friends, a couple of his girlfriends. We did a huge dinner at Aria one night and then went over to Omnia, which you've been in before.
I have.
And we sent it. We had a night.
It's loud in there.
We had a night in there, came back on the tables, did pretty well. And then up early, buddy, for a little breakfast. And then we went over. We had a fucking huge, we call it the Green Machine, the Incredible Hulk, but a huge green limo with probably 30 of us in there. We all went over to the game. Shout out to Jack Eichel, who came by. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Was the city like super busy or what? I mean,
was it busy, bro? It was insane.
Every fucking hot chick in the planet was there on my Instagram, I think. Literally everyone that I know or wanted to know or have known or might have known, they were all there. So I was just like, fuck. I mean, when you think about it, Vegas for the Super Bowl, right? Everyone's going to take that opportunity to get in there and just mix it. I wonder how much money the city made.
The city, I mean, I don't know, but the rooms were crazy. Like, everything was just times 10 expensive. Rooms, fucking limo rides, minimum at tables.
What was the minimum? Nuts, right? What was the minimum?
I'd probably 40.
Oh, God. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, mind you, we didn't put that on the missing curfew card, so that's
Well,
good,
I should but, fucking hope not. It would have bounced.
But listen, I'll tell you what. I saw Gwen Stefani. She looked good.
Yeah.
I saw, I walked past Leo. He was fucking, had his hat on.
Was Cons with him?
Huh?
Was
no, Cons I with didn't him? See Cons.
Bah.
I didn't see, was Cons at the game?
I didn't see it from his Instagram that he was there. No, he was probably, takes a lot to get Cons, but I thought maybe the Super Bowl might get him there for a night.
Yeah, no, it didn't. But we had a great crew and it was all on Jimbo with that last minute invite. I was really, you know, I didn't plan on going to this and you know that, but once in a lifetime experience, the fucking city was rocking, buddy. And you do talk about Rockets. I think every Rocket in the goddamn country in the world was there.
Yeah.
And it didn't take more than just a head turn to find them all. But, you know, it was great. It was great. We had a blast. Glad we came out alive. And it's nice to be back with the family, fella, and now chatting with you.
Uppy's World. Party time. 40 G's. Oh, you better not put that on the Mystic Cure for your MX. That's all I can say, fella. Get this guy a beer presented by our good friends at Labatt.
Presented by Labatt Blue Light. Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, hitting the club, going to Super Bowls. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Labatt Blue.
I'm going to start right with my boy, Weezy, baby. I still think you should have made the All-Star game just because I wanted to see him in Toronto. 15 goals. He's leading the league in goals for defensemen. I watched him play last night against the Rangers. He was absolutely buzzing. 32 points plus 13, but 15 goals up, dog. That is insane. Weegsy, baby, get yourself a blue light, fella, and keep on buzzing.
That is insane. He's just sniping, bro. You got to love it. You got to love the Weegsy, baby. Get this guy a beer. He's back, boys. He's back. Jonathan Huberto. Last four games, 2 goals, 3 apples. He's playing with Kuzmenko, who they just picked up, who's also got 2 goals in 4 games. So shout out to Hubie. We put him on the milk cart not too long ago, but he's back. And from the quotes from his boys on his squad, he's a different guy. He's walking around with a little swag. He's doing the peacock. So shout out to our boy Hubie. Get that guy a blue light.
You know, it's good to see Hubie playing well. 5 points in his last five. What did he have? He had 5 points in 4 games ever since Kuzmenko's got there. And Kuzmenko's a good player. I was sitting thinking, like, you know, I'm glad to see Hubie doing well, but there's one team. I guess this is, I could throw this into a rumor mill. If there's one team out there that I think Craig Conroy, and I'm not saying he wants to get rid of Hubie, but what about the Washington Capitals, right? Ovi's trying to get to beat Gretzky. Backstrom's probably done forever. Kuznetsov's back in the NHLPA program. I know Hubie's making $10 million. Calgary would have to take some of that salary, but I think Hubie playing on the same line as Ovi, they kind of play at the same pace. I just think if there was one team out there, Connie, if you're listening, that you might be able to bite. I'm not saying they want to trade him up, but doesn't Washington seem like it could be a fit for Hubie? Go there, play with Ovi, help him break the record?
Yeah, he does need just a sniper, right? He doesn't have that on his line. He doesn't have a guy that's opened up, right-hand shot. You know, the thing about Hubie, though, is you need to just give him a little bit of patience, right? You got to be patient with him because eventually he's going to find his stride, but it's all about chemistry with him and the guys he's on the ice with. But I just don't know, man. It seems like you get two older guys on the same line that just skate the same same pace, Obes. It might not be perfect. They might just be a little too slow. And, you know, matchups on the road might be tough. Who knows? But you talk about power play. I mean, it would be a game changer for the Caps.
Well, they're both too slow. It doesn't matter what team they play for. They're both too slow.
Exactly. And they might get exposed, you know, being on the ice together.
Well, anyways, Ovi's been on fire. So get this guy Labatt Blue. Ovi, 5 goals in the last 5 games. He broke the record for empty net goals, 57. That's a lot of empty netters. But Ovi's back scoring. Listen, I bumped into somebody at the sports book as well who's a big-time Caps fan ups, and he says Ovi's been playing with a sports hernia or a torn or like something to do with the midsection. So listen, if Ovi's been battling through that, that would explain a lot, because if you're playing with any kind of hernia or something in your stomach, you can't skate. And he does look slower, so maybe he's getting healthy up, dog. Maybe he's starting to get healthy, and I hope he is, because it's more fun when he's scoring. But get Ovi Labatt Blue, 5 goals in 5 games.
Yeah, 60 back of Wayne's record right now, so we hope he stays healthy. You're right.
Is he 60 behind him?
He is now 60 behind Wayne's, yeah.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
That's right.
Last but not least, your boy Petro.
Petro, 1,000 games. Shout it out. Man, it was a treat. They Saturday night in Vegas, they had a little thing for him. It's special, man. Anytime you play 1,000 games, I probably played 300 games with Petro. He's a stud. Got the Golden Knights stick. Got the Golden Stick from the Golden Knights. You know what? A quiet almost 600 points. So anytime you're a guy that plays a two-way game and you chip in with 2 Stanley Cups and almost 600 points on 2 squads, it means you're doing something right. Watched the game last night. You know, you had Backes, you had Craig Berube. You had some guys from the Blues. Just give them a shout out. It was pretty special. But I think it might have been the first guy that's ever been on a Golden Knight that has been celebrated for 1,000 games. So a nice honor for him as well for that.
Yeah, it was. Man, Vegas has got to get healthy though, huh? I mean, that lineup, I know Eichs is getting close, but Carrier's hurt again. Theodore's still out. You know, I just watched the play last night. I took him. I still thought they'd find a win, and unfortunately they didn't. But that's a team that needs to get healthy, and right now, layups. Like, when you look at that team,
yeah,
they're missing some key guys.
Yeah, yesterday was a key thing too, right? They're missing the key guys. They get penalty trouble. They can't rely on Aiden Hill all the time. There was a couple 5-on-3s back-to-back. But Aiden Hill, he's back to the form I think he was at last year in that run. And if they can find a way to get healthy, you know, they're bound to bounce back and have a great finish, in my opinion. So,
oh yeah, you still don't want to play them in the playoffs, especially if they get healthy.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Right now it would be Vegas Edmonton first round, Vegas home ice. Edmonton wants no part of that, right?
I think Edmonton's ready to rock and roll with anyone right now.
You're drinking the Kool-Aid, eh?
Kansas City Chiefs, we'll take you guys.
I watched Edmonton play in Vegas. Now, mind you, it was the first game after the break. They lost 2-1. McDavid was absolutely flying. I mean, he could have had 10 points, but he didn't. And the rest of the team, it kind of looked like it did last year in the playoffs. Vegas shut them down. Vegas grinded them down. They tried to limit to McDavid to whatever they could. He still had a million chances. But up, dog, it still had that feel of, same old Oilers here. Come playoff time, yeah, can their depth guys help out? Because McDavid can only do so much, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. It's just what they've done in the last 2 months has just proved everyone wrong. At one point, I got a text from our boy Joe DeMarco and said, is plus like 2,200 good to bet on these Oilers to win the cup? And I'm like, buddy, they're done. And look what they've done. Since then,
I thought they were done
best
too.
Best team in the league. And yes, you're right. It's just 2 players, but it's working. 2 players and a goalie. You're getting them there. So can they finally put it together come playoff time and get some secondary, third, and third scoring? Who knows? But we'll see.
Right now, it would be Vancouver Canucks versus your former St. Louis Blues. That'd be a nice little interesting round one matchup.
I'd be up there for it.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be nice. Yeah, yeah.
Get this guy, Labatt Blue, up dog, missing curfew. Oh, dog of the week. Listen, I watched this guy play earlier in the season. His name is Will Cooley. He's a 22-year-old rookie, 6'3", 210 pounds. He's got 9 goals, 16 points. Last night he scored a fucking just a just a Scotty Upshaw goal. Capo Caco takes it to the net, pulls it, shot on net. Markey's right there. Cooley beats this guy to the net, whacks at it once, whacks at it twice, bangs it in. He played unbelievable the whole night. Forechecking, going to the net, hitting guys, scrubbing guys up. Will Cooley, I absolutely love it, fella. That's why you're the missing curfew dog of the week. Uppy, it gives me hope. It gives me hope that there's still guys out there that play with a little bit of this and a little bit of balls, because this kid plays the game the right way.
Yeah, you're right. And anytime you get under guys' skin, you go to the net like that, you're banging and whacking. You know, Markstrom's pissed off. You piss off other guys the way you play, you're doing something right. And I just, you know, for a guy, young, 6'3", 210-pounder, he's playing hard, man. He's playing right. And you gotta take advantage when you're like a New York Ranger or your Toronto Maple Leaf, Montreal Canadiens, Chicago Blackhawk, playing on these like original six teams. And you play hard, you play the right way, these fans will love you. You'll get recognized. You get put up on a, you put on a plateau. And this kid's doing all the right things. So,
roof, roof, arf, dog of the week. Arf. I'm going to say something here to see if I can maybe rile up some Rangers fans here. I'm going to say this Adams Fox, he's having a great year. He's got 39 points. He's plus six. 39 points in 43 games. He's got some slow boots, man. From a guy who had some slow boots, this guy, he has some slow boots. I watched him last night, and there was foot races where he got beat flat out. And I'm just saying, if this New York Rangers team, which I still watched them play last night, and with a guy like Peter Laviolette, like I thought he'd make them tighten it up, dog. They're still making whole plays. The bread man, I love him, but he's throwing cross-ice sauce here. There's a band of Jets turning him over. I don't know. I haven't watched the Rangers enough. I'm going to watch them more down the stretch here, but I'm still concerned about their east-west plays. And I know Adam Fox is a 10 times the defense than I was, but dude, up dog, watch him. He's got some slow boots, man. He's got some slow boots.
I know. I've seen it, but it's his puck handling that everyone's going to say, well, he puts up points because he, you know, he's just that much better the way he thinks. And he doesn't have to skate so fast because he reads the play and he's just smarter than other guys. There's no secret. Any New York Ranger fan would tell you he's slow.
Yeah? Like you think so? I hope so.
He's effective. No. Just be out there more for goals for than goals against.
Yeah, I know.
And then help win in the playoffs, and they'll like Adam Fox.
No, but he's supposed to be an elite defenseman. You know, yeah. Cale Makar, not even close. Quinn Hughes, not even close. I mean, is he not supposed to be in he won the Norris a few years ago, the COVID year, I think it was. Like you said, I guess he's a plus player. He's got 38 points. Maybe I'm overthinking it. But I'll tell you what, that Jacob Trouba, is he not fun to watch? He almost put that Peltier from Calgary. He almost put him out of the league. I mean, it was such a clean hit. The guy's head was down. I love watching him play. But Will Cooley, you were the dog of the week. Up dog around the National League, my man. Your boy Jack Hughes is back. Listen, this kid's got to stay healthy. He had 1-1 last night. He scored from the goal line. It was such a sick play off Joey DeCourt's head and in. But this kid's good for the game. We've talked over the years about, you know, he's not the biggest guy ups, and I'm still concerned about him getting hurt because we need him back, and for the New Jersey Devils, they need him back. But this is a guy that's great for the league. We got to keep him healthy is what I'm saying.
From a guy, Obes, that was hurt early on in my career, I'm not comparing myself to Jack Hughes, but, you know, the way he plays, he's so dynamic, he's so fast. We've seen Connor McDavid as a younger player skate so fast, and when you bring the pucks to the net and there's a chance someone takes your feet out and you hit that end wall, there's no saving you. I don't care if you're, you know, if you've got meat on your bones or you're built like muscle or you're tiny. When you go that fast and hit the wall, it's going to hurt you. Now, that was the injury back in St. Louis for Jack Hughes. Right now, we don't know if it's lingered for so long, but not having him in the All-Star game is terrible for the NHL. Not having him for the stretch is terrible. So it's nice to see him back. He's come back with a mission. One, that goal, you're talking about, that goal was incredible. But, you know, he's a guy, just, you know, stay with it. Stay controlled. Don't, like, you know, it's like he's playing on a joystick, man. Like, he's so shifty, and he's incredible player that there's going to be times you just kind of got to slow it down a little bit and not put yourself in those vulnerable positions. But if he's healthy, NHL's better. New Jersey Devils will be back on track.
They're 4 points out of the playoffs right now. Behind the Detroit Red Wings, there's rumors that they're trying to get Markstrom. And listen, the way Markey's been playing, if the New Jersey Devils can get him, you may be going to the Prudential Center for the Stanley Cup Finals in June. We may be seeing Frosty with his playoff beard and his sick hair. Because if you can get a legit goalie like that in Jersey and this kid can stay healthy, then they can't win with the goaltending they have right now, Ups. They're not going to win a Stanley Cup.
I know, but the coaching staff and everyone, you're right. They haven't. I think this is the league's worst. We haven't seen this kind of save percentage amongst their two goalies in forever. You know, that Blackwood over in San Jose right now, they miss him. He's been good. But you're right. That deal was on the table as of last week. And there's a lot of rumors to why it didn't work out. Some salary retention, you know, maybe the pieces just weren't in place. But you're right. Markstrom, add a goalie, save the season. You got Jack Hughes back. If he is healthy, if he's not too healthy, Obi, and they're just like, get in there and play, maybe it's not the year to bring in the goalie and risk it. But if he's healthy, you still have a chance. Jasper Bratt, Timo Meier, these guys, you want to, while you have these guys healthy playing together, you got to have a run. You got to have a goalie.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, it's not now or never for them. They got their core guys locked up. Their star players are young. I just think, listen, Markey's got a no move. He's got to waive it. I think he would waive it for New Jersey. It'd be a great fit for him, and they would be a scary, scary team up, dog. So, speaking about American-born players, Billy Guerin is the GM of Team USA for the Four Nations Cup and moving on to the Olympics. I think that's a great, great, great pick for Team USA. I love Billy Guerin. Things aren't going exactly. You know, Minnesota played hard last night, man. I watched them play last night. I wouldn't say they're done just yet. I think he's going to be a great GM for Team USA. My question to you is, who's going to be the guy for Team Canada? The front runner is your boy Army, they're saying, but there's a guy here at Mystic Curfew that we're liking, isn't there?
Yeah, listen, I wouldn't go anywhere else but a guy that's won Stanley Cups, captained them. He's been on the leadership committee for playing in the Olympics for Team Canada. He's wore the jersey. To me, Steve Yzerman is the front runner for this. Doug Armstrong, you know, he's been there before. He's a guy that's built, you know, Stanley Cup winning team. But for me, Captain Canada is Steve Yzerman, a guy that's battled, a guy that's put together, you know, frameworked the Tampa Bay Lightning back in the day to their Stanley Cups. And now with a team like the Detroit Red Wings, a nice young team, up-and-coming team, well-built, well-designed weapons. He's just a guy. I think these guys, imagine getting a call from him mid-season next year, like, hey, you're gonna play on Team Canada. You know, what that would mean, getting a call from Steve Yzerman, telling him you're going to play in that Four Nations Cup, that would be pretty special for some guys.
I agree. I think the head coach needs to be John Cooper. And maybe I'm biased because I love Coop, but he was supposed to be the coach before COVID hit. You know, I know they don't have the same team that they used to. I love Paul Maurice. If it's not John Cooper, maybe it's him. But I just think it's got to be Coop. You know, he won his two Stanley Cups. They went to three finals. He never got his opportunity to be the guy. And if anyone can manage these superstar guys that are making, you know, $13 million a year, I think it's John Cooper Ups. I mean, that guy is, you know him. We've got to know him. He's chill. I think he'd be perfect for them.
Listen, you have Coop, you have Paul Maurice, you have Rick Tocchet.
Oh, Tocchet.
You have all these guys that are players' guys. They know the game. They live the game, right? They bleed it. They think it all day long. They're smart. They're guys. Paul Maurice, like you said, I mean, who would want to play for a guy like that? Talk brings the toughness, brings the attitude, brings that pedigree of, you know, fuck you.
Yeah.
And then Cooper is he's the leader. He's the one saying, go here, go there. He's like the Warcraft, the guru. I mean, between those three guys, that sounds like a pretty nice little squad right there for coaches.
Yeah, you got to think Coop's bringing Toxin as an assistant 100%, right? Yeah. 100%. What a coaching room that would be. Holy fuck, I hope they got a beer.
Yeah, hope they got a beer fridge in there, eh?
Guarantee they got a beer fridge in there. But it's interesting, Uppy. We're going to get some best on best next year, buddy. I can't wait to see who the name is, GM of Canada. And like I said, Coop, he's got my vote. We'll be right back here at Missing. Fellas, Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey in Labatt Blue, golf in Labatt Blue, barbecuing with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Curfew, foul lot. Welcome back to Mr. Curfew. Up dog, my man. Physicality is something that me and you talk about weekly here at Missing Curfew. We both played physical. Let's start with the Brendan Dillon hit. I know it was last week, but we were on the fella tour getting drunk. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. I like Nola Chari, but I think if you sat him down and said, fella, what the fuck were you thinking? Like, his head was down. He's reaching for the puck. He put himself in a vulnerable position, up dog.
Yeah.
And if I'm Dillon and I'm that D-man, I'm stepping up too. I'm stepping up and drilling him. They gave him three games for it. What's your thought as a forward? I mean, I think Achari's got to take some responsibility there.
I think Achari's just not used to carrying the puck up the ice that long, right? He's kind of like a give-and-go type guy. You know, he gets the puck on a stick. He doesn't have it too long before he's either dumping it in or he's giving it to one of his guys or turning it over. No offense. I did it a lot. But you're right. His head got caught out in front of him. And whenever that happens, Obi, carrying the puck up the ice, whether you miss it, it's in your skates, and you put your head out there. Of course, principal point of contact is your head. Brendan Dillon, we always talk about the lines. Protect the blue line, protect the red line. That's when you go hit guys. You don't want him to gain that. And so, for me, I think that's a tough paycheck to lose for Brendan Dillon, a guy that plays hard, plays the same way every night. He's not going to not hit that guy. So when you're on the ice, you know Brendan Dillon's out there, be ready to get hit, and no one's getting suspended. I don't know. That's the way I feel. I've been crushed. I got smoked, and I also smoked a lot of guys. But I was also ready for those moments. And if I wasn't, it's on me. But like, you know, I had this conversation, I think it was with, it was us talking with either Richie Golfin or we're sitting with, it might have been Teddy Purcell at the W Waste Management Open, just talking about the hit too. But it's like, come on. It's hockey still, boys. We want this game to be physical. Look at the Super Bowl, how many fucking big hits were in the Super Bowl. It's like, you know, our game's physical and it's beautiful for it.
Yeah.
Guy gets fucking smoked, fucking beat. Sometimes it's great that he gets smoked.
It's a man's game out there, isn't it, Uppy? It's a man's game.
Fella.
Listen, I thought it was a great clip, too. It's a great clip for everyone but Nola Chari. Because he's at his bucket fucking spinning through the air. And Dillon's coming. I was like, what a great clip. And there's people out there, you know. And for some of the people on our social media, the Jake McCabe hit. Listen, you meat sticks. When a defenseman reverses it, as I reverse it, as soon as I reverse it, my job is to turn and now look this way. If I reverse it and continue to look this way, I deserve to get fucking drilled. And that's exactly what Jake McCabe did. He reversed it, won Mississippi, kept looking at it, and he got absolutely drilled. If you asked him deep down, was he admired his little reverse, he would say yes. It happened to me. Cam Barker got me in the playoffs. Fucking bucket this way, glove that way. The whole building was green because I was admiring my little reverse to Mitchie. That one and a half seconds up being a little reverse, you can still get hit. I thought it was a great hit. And then last but not least here, Morgan Rielly. First of all, Revo's comments were unbelievable. Make hockey violent again. I text Smitty at Sauce. I'm like, make that t-shirt. We'll send a couple to Revo. Make hockey violent again. Do you want to go first on this one? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Sure. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Listen, the thing is when you go in with your stick and you cross check, you're putting your own self in, you know, in give up your paycheck fucking situation. Morgan Rielly's a great player. Is he dirty? No. I think he was, fuck, he didn't have a penalty until 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know.
So, I don't think
he must have heard us talking about him.
Yeah, I don't think he's, I don't think he's fucking a dirty player by no means. Do I like to see emotion like that? Rivalry game, Ottawa, Toronto, guy fucking takes the slapper from fucking below the hashes on an empty netter to close out the game. Do I want fights after it? Yes. Would I have liked Morgan Rielly to drop his gloves and go grab him and beat his ass down just because you got to be ready for that when you do it? That's the situation. It's kind of like the Marchand situation a couple of years ago in the playoffs, right, where you go in with your stick rather than just punching a guy in the face. It's funny to say, usually, you know, if you're an outsider looking at hockey, Obi, and you say you can just punch a guy in the face and it's way better than, you know, just cross-checking him. Yes, it is. It looks, you know, it looks better from the outside looking in. I think this in-person hearing means he's going to have a chance to explain himself. Like, maybe I didn't mean to get him in the head, but what the fuck is he doing taking the slap shot, embarrassing us like that, and then not engaging with me when he turns in the corner? Yeah. Like, if I took a slap shot on your fucking team, Obi, and you were my best buddy, you'd fucking come and cross-check me in the head. You would.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd know you're there. I would turn around and be ready for it. I wouldn't just fucking start looking in the crowd. So, well, that's kind of my take on it, right? You might be ready, and this isn't a situation.
You never would have done that, but you might have been looking in the crowd for a couple broads. But I see that, maybe. What's going on? But listen, you're absolutely right. And I've been dying for the Battle of Ontario. It's never going to be what it was when Tux and Domi and Mats and Greener and Chris Neal on the other side and Fisher and Chris Phillips. It's never going to be what it was, because it used to be the best thing in the world. Guys were killing each other. And the Leafs always won the playoffs, which made me, you know, happy as a Leafs guy. So first and foremost, if this can bring some passion back to the Battle of Alberta, thank God. Because sometimes when they play, I'm like, is this really two rivals? I haven't seen a goddamn hit out here. As for Morgan Rielly, I love this kid. You're right, Uppy. We said he did have a penalty minute, you know, a couple months ago. Now he's got an in-person hearing. I love the passion. We need more of it. But you can't go in. You can't go in cross-checking high. You should have just went in. What you should have done is just dropped your gloves right away. You just dropped your gloves and started beating the piss out of them. You wouldn't have got suspended. Or I'll tell you what, Morgan, next time, leave that glove on and just punch him as hard as you can right in the fucking nose. As hard as you possibly can. And then give him a couple more on the ground. But as soon as you get the lumber up here above the neck, it sucks. But I love the passion. Don't cross-check him. Punch him in the nose next time. And this what's this kid's name? Ridley Gregg? Is this him? Just put the puck in the net, fella. Well, what are you doing? I will like this up, dog. They asked Austin Matthews, have you ever seen somebody take a slap shot into an empty net? He said, yeah, last week at the All-Star Skills game. I thought that was a great, great comment. But I love it. I love the passion. I love what Sheldon Keefe said. I love what Remo said. Hopefully the Battle of Alberta is back. But like you said, Updog, Morgan, just keep that stick down. Just either absolutely go in and drop him and jump him. Or like I said, that glove on, Updog, you know, right in the nose. That hurts more than anything. Yep.
Absolutely. That's well said. I'm glad that's the take that all our listeners are going to enjoy to hear too, because I'm sure they all feel the same. And I mean, it's hockey, right? It should be violent. It should be fucking hard. It's a man's game. Fucking do dumb shit, you're gonna get beat up.
Make hockey violent again. That was unbelievable. Yeah. Remo, this guy's like, I mean, his post-game interviews this year have been gold. Tarp off. He's just, you can tell Uppy, he's to the point where he knows he's got 2 years left and who knows what's gonna happen. He's played a long, long time. Yeah, he still wants to win a Stanley Cup. But you can tell he just doesn't really give a fuck anymore, right? Like, he's gonna say what he wants to say. You can tell he hates where the game is heading, much like all of us do. And if you're playing in the hockey mecca and they're going to put a microphone in front of your face, I learned in Vancouver, if they want to put a microphone in my face, I'm going to tell them how I feel. And I like how Revo's calling it how it is. I like that.
Absolutely, man. It's those guys that people tune in to watch. You never know what's going to come out of their mouth, but it's usually pretty damn good.
Yeah, and, you know, the missing curfew hot seat, it's got to be getting hot for Sheldon Keefe, doesn't it? I said a month and a half ago, Brad, if you're listening, you should bring Craig Berube in, but... I mean, what are they waiting for? Maybe just chalk it up to... Listen, this hockey is not a very good team. They're a wild card team right now. And if you ask me, the Devils, the Islanders, they're coming as well. Like, they're going to have to fight hard to get in the playoffs here, Updog.
Yeah, I mean, and we need Toronto in.
Yeah.
It's escrow. These kids want Toronto in. Fans want Toronto in. I mean, you can't have the best goal scorer in the league not, you know, elevate his team's play. And at some point, it is a coaching change. Look at what happened to the Oilers. I mean, just a front seat. And who got fired last week, by the way? We missed another fight. I missed another bet. Todd McClellan, LA, of course, next game comes out, wins it. I think that's a fucking perfect 6-0.
Yeah, I had the Oilers in that one. And by the way, that was another game I watched the Oilers play where it had a little bit of a playoff feel to it again, and a lot of guys didn't show up. So... I don't know. I want Connor McDavid to win one, up dog, and I want to see the fans of Edmonton get what they deserve. But it was a hell of a 16-game winning streak. But now it's time to get them back on track. But up dog, you the man. What's going on in Aspen? Is there lots of snow up there? Are you hitting the slopes, or are you having a nap, or what the fuck are you doing today, bud?
I don't know, man. I haven't seen our boy Lupo in some time, and I'm sure he's going to want to grab a nice little man's lunch. But listen, I took Izzy to school here today, this morning, for the first time. She loves it. I walked in with my 99 Gretzky's Basement hat on, and the teacher was like, "Are you a hockey fan?" And I said, "A hockey fan? Yeah, I like hockey a little bit." She's like, "Wow, I love that hat. Like, I'm a big Gretzky guy." And I said, "So am I." And then, you know, I dropped Izzy off, and she said, "My dad played hockey." And then I took Beckham to gymnastics, bro. He's just buzzing around the trampolines, getting on the tightrope. So this is a full family day, but it's beautiful outside. There's not a ton of snow, but it is President's Day weekend coming up, and this is a good weekend to be around. Expecting a big turnout. And shout out to our boy Noah. It's his birthday today. I'm here in his studio at Platform, but it's his birthday, so shout out to him. And thanks for, you know, letting us do this in his office.
Well, fella, I'll be talking to you on a fellow Friday. We can go over all the weekend stuff. Say hi to Loops for me. Thank you to Morgan and Kyle here at Hall Pass Media. Up dog, you the man. That was Missing Curfew.
Fellas.
Fella, we got to talk about Jägermeister. No chirping, no running its mouth. Let's just talk about the confidence on these guys.
Our friends at Jägermeister sent us this ad read to read on the show, fella. But they're confident that they said, don't do any of that normal ad stuff. Tell the listeners two things. Jägermeister's great, and everyone's been drinking it wrong. Well, if that's the case, how the hell do you think we should be drinking it?
Up dog, that's a great question. Ice cold, fella. At 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it, my man. That's all they want to tell you. Damn, that's cold.
Just remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.